he cut Brother Kennemore's time out, and he come and told me about it, and I said, glory to God, I get an hour and a half with these people. He said, no, we ain't giving you his time. It's a joy to be here this morning. Been a joy to be here all the week. And Brother Stewart, you and the church, thank you for everything you've done for Prayer Baptist Missions and for you missionaries. And what a privilege just to get to be with you and to be a part of this board and ministry. Take your Bible and turn with us over in Ezekiel this morning. It's failed my lot for some years to have the closing part, and they don't sign me a place to go, and so they let me loose kindly to feel free to do what I feel like's needed. And I hope that in Ezekiel here in chapter 2 that we can find some things that'll be a help to you in these moments that we're with you this morning. And in Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse number 1, and he said unto me, son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me, and when he spake unto me and set me up on my feet, that I hear him and spake unto me, and hear him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, son of man, I send thee unto the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even this very day. For they are putative children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and they shall say unto thee, thou shalt say unto them, saith the Lord. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are rebellious house, ye shall know that there has been a prophet among them. I'll stop there for the sake of time this morning, and just want to preach to you on God has a need for ye, where he's called ye. God has a need for you to where that he's called you. Now, I'd be a little in question after God told Ezekiel, now, I'm sending you to the children of Israel, and they're rebellious. They're stiff-hearted. They're not really going to listen to you. But I want you to stand up on your feet, and I have a message that I want to give to them. And God has a way of using Ezekiel here that I'll deal with for just a little ways, and then I'll get back to the main part, that there has been a prophet among them. And so we see here in verse number 6, he said, Ezekiel, they're stiff-hearted. They're rebellious people. And it's going to be to you as a thorn in your flesh. And it's going to be to you as a scorpion upon you. In other words, either one of them is painful and is hard, his sufferings. And then he said, Ezekiel, over in chapter number 3 and verse number 24, he said they're going to try to bring you out, and they're going to try to get you to start speaking unto them. They're going to try to find out a little about you. But he said, I want you to get in the house and stay there until I call you out. And so we see in chapter 3 and verse 24, if they try to chain you, bring you out, I'm not going to let you speak till I get ready, and I'll let your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth. And don't you speak until I give you words to say. And then he brought him out, and we find in verse in chapter 4 and verse number 1, he said, Ezekiel, first of all, I want you to get you a clay tile. And I want you to go out in before Israel and the people. And I want you to take that clay tile, and I want you to draw a mountain. And I want you to mark off some boundaries around. And I just want you to kind of get the attention of the people. That's strange pastoral there. That's a strange missionary. And so Ezekiel got him a clay tile. And he went out before them, and he marked
And he drawed some things and it got their attention. And then verse number 3, he said, Ezekiel, I want you to get you an iron pan. And I want you to go through the streets. And I want you to wave that iron pan. He said, I want you to let them know that God's got an iron judgment coming down upon them. And so Ezekiel got him an iron skillet, we call it. Can you imagine just going down the street and waving that iron skillet? How odd that might be. But God said, Ezekiel, they're rebellious. They're stiff-hearted. And so he said, I want you to tell them there's an iron judgment from God that's coming upon you. And then we see thirdly of all, look in verse number 3 of chapter, that's an iron skillet. And then he said in verse number 4, chapter 4, he said, lie thy upon thy left side. He said, now when you lay down, I want you to lay down on your left side. Not only I want you to know that judgment, but I want you to feel that when you lay down. Lay on your left side. And so when old Ezekiel go to bed of a night, laid on his left side. Boy, that's strange pastoral, ain't it? And yet God is making him and putting him to a place and letting him have an experience. As he begins to deal with these, And he said, I want you to know what you're dealing with. And then we find in chapter 4 and verse number 7, he said, now Ezekiel, when you go out to prophesy unto them, he said, I want you to cut one of the sleeves out of your shirt. I want you to go out there and prophesy to them. Now I want you to have one sleeve in your shirt and the other cut out. Now, boy, that'll get attention of a fellow, won't it? God is doing a work that you and I don't understand this morning. And God's dealing with the people. We know some of it. He said, this folks is so rebellious, they're like a thorn in your flesh. And they're like a scorpion on your back. Painful, painful people to work with. And so I see Ezekiel taking one sleeve out of his shirt. He hits the streets the next morning and prophesying, speaking unto them and telling them how God has a message for them. And then he said, Ezekiel in chapter 5 and verse number 1, he said, I want you to get your hair cut. He said, I want you to take and cut your hair. I want you to shave. He said, I want you to take that hair, one-third of it, and in their midst, I want you to throw it in the air. And in their midst, I want you to take a knife and slash it. And in their midst, take another third and burn that and tell them the breath of God's coming upon them. God's going to send a fiery judgment upon them if they don't turn to God and tell them the sword is coming down against them. We see here God is preparing a man of God for a work that's uncomfortable, a work that's hard, a work that's seemly is a task to go through. But old Ezekiel cuts his hair and he throws to the wind. He burns, he cuts with a knife. It's to say there's a judgment on the way if you don't hear God. And then we see then, seventh of all, I guess it would be, and verse number 7 of in chapter 6, and verse number 11. He said, Ezekiel, now as you do this, he said, I want you to stomp your foot, and I want you to slap your hands. Now, I like that kind of preaching. If you look that word up in the dictionary, it says, in a tiring way. I said, glory to God, I can do it about it. It's as tiringly as anybody. I mean, Ezekiel, get with it. Let them people know, praise God, there's something in the pulpit, amen. And it's exciting. And I want to tell you, fellas, we got to get excited what we're doing today. If we don't, nobody else is going to get excited. Brother John's been by and visit where I've been filling in. For 8 months, old preacher been there 43 years and never raised his voice. And held on to the book board till he's wore both corners out on it. and the finish. His thumbprints has wore out in the wood. When he got behind it, he never moved. He didn't want nobody to say amen. He didn't want no fast songs. He just wanted everything. And so they called me to come over and fill in. And I said, boy, this is going to be a shocker. And the first Sunday I was there, I got walking out in the front, and I got stomping my foot and slapping my hands. And I got excited. They looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. But I want to tell you, glory to God, I started off with about 110, and the offering was about $1,100. Sometimes get up $1,200. And Sunday, I just had about 180, 85, offering a little over $3,200. I'm telling you, that hand slapping, that foot stomping, it'll get some excitement going. Hey, Ezekiel, I want you to get excited now. I want you to slap your hands. I want you to stomp your feet and let them know that God's in this thing. Amen. And so I see then, he said, in chapter 8, in verse number 7, he said, I want you to go over there and dig you a hole in the wall. And he said, I want you to look through that hole. I want you to see their indifference. I want you to see their idleness. I want you to see their idle gods that they have. And so Ezekiel goes over and he digs him a hole and he looks through that wall and he sees how idleness has taken that city. And so God said to him, now Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse number 3, there's a few men that's got a tear in their eye. There's a few folks that's broken over what's going on. And so we see in chapter 9 and verse number 3, he said, I want you to get you an inkhorn. And he said, I want you to go amongst them. It's got tears in their eyes, and I want you to mark them. And put a mark on them. And they're ones that I'm going to be able to deal with. And so we see that he does that. And then I see here in chapter number 12 and verse number 5. He said, Ezekiel, I want you to move now, boy. He said, I want you to go over there and down through verse number 7 of this chapter 12. And he said, I want you to dig a hole in the wall. I want you to get your stuff. And I want you at sunset, move her over to the wall. He said, I want you to put you kind of a blinder on you to where you can't even see the ground. And he said, at dusk, I want you to move through that hole. But I'm going to tell you, that's a strange pastoral movement there. Me and my wife almost gets divorced every time we move. But can you imagine taking, and that is a good word, their stuff. So now just take your stuff and get it over there. And can you imagine putting kind of blinders on you where you can't even see the ground? Strange. Ezekiel has had to do some strange, strange things. But then if you will, look in this chapter in verse number 27 and the latter part of it. They're coming to the place now, and they said, you know, this old Ezekiel, he's a little strange. They said, you know, he might have something. And said, what he's saying unto us, and you see it there in the last phrase of that, times that are afar off. Preachers, missionaries, we can preach our heart out today. He's coming again. But they say, that's a long ways down the road. That's far off. I've heard that all of my life. But I got news for you this morning. Praise God. I'm glad he's coming again. And I want you to know, thank God, old Ezekiel now somewhat got their attention. And they said, you know, this thing, old Ezekiel's been preaching to us and prophesying to us. Hey, there's probably a little something to it, but it's a long ways down the road. That'll be somewhat of the thought of your mission field and where God's sending you. And then I see down in chapter 13 and verse number 10, and they're hollering peace. And they begin to build them a wall. And they said in the last part of that verse, and they dabbed it to, with untempered mortar. And Ezekiel said, it ain't going to stand. Your wall ain't going to work. Your wall is not going to bring peace unto you. And let me say this morning, between Mexico and the United States, that wall ain't bringing peace to us today. Hey, what's needed? They get right with God. The United States get right with God. Hey, let a holy God do a work in our midst. And friend, I'll take care of situations this morning. And here all Ezekiel is. God said they're rebellious, they're stiff-hearted. Hey, they're stubborn. They're like a thorn in your flesh, a scorpion on your back. But Ezekiel, stay with it. Preach them the word of God. And so I see that he said, your wall ain't going to stand. And then we see chapter 14. Again, they set up their idolatry. And verse number 3. And then I see that over in verse 14 and verse number 20, God's just saying to Ezekiel, if you had old Noah, and if you had Daniel, and if you had Job, they're not going to let them pastor them either. You say, well, if I get out of here and let somebody else, they can do a better job. Hey, that ain't what he told Ezekiel. He said, Ezekiel, just stay with it. He said, boy, just keep prophesying. Give them the word of God. If they had Noah, if they had Daniel, and if they had old Ezekiel, he said, they ain't going to listen to them. And so in chapter 16, we see here, as old Ezekiel then begins to really see, and God said, Ezekiel, I want you to tell him, I seen her when she was born. And her father didn't want her, and her mother didn't want her. We can see there in verse number 4, chapter 16. He said, I found you when they throwed you aside. They hadn't cut your navel cord. You were stealing your produces of your birth juices. And nobody had washed you and cleaned you up. But he said, Ezekiel, I want you to tell them, hey, I come by. I saw them when they wasn't wanted. I saw them when they laid down in their nakedness. And verse number 6 there, 8 there, he said, I want you to tell them I loved them. And I saw them in their nakedness. And I throwed my skirt over them. And he said, I took them in my arms. And I washed you. Thank God. I'm glad I got a God. Hey, they found me one day. Cleaned me up. Washed me with the good Holy Ghost. Hey, and never turned this back upon me. I'm here to tell you this morning. Thank God, missionary. Hey, God's got a work for us to do today. Woo, just stay with it. Glory to God. Hey, when you can't do it, he can. He can. And so I see him, and he said, tell him I've loved him. Mama didn't want him, daddy didn't want him, but I pulled him to my bosom. He said, tell her I've seen her to grow up. He said, tell her that I've seen her mature. And he said, now would you tell her that I've seen her turn to her beauty and back to a harlot? That's down in verse number 15. Of chapter 16. No, he said here, but thou didst turn in thy own beauty and played the harlot. God help us. Jesus so loving us, going to Calvary and saving us. We're going to turn our back on him this morning. Oh, he loved her when mom and dad didn't want her. Hey, they throwed her out in her birth juices. And now then she's grown, she's matured, and now she's playing the harlot. Is that not kind of like what's taking place today? Boy, God began to let me see some of these things. And I said, God, help me. Oh, I want to serve you. I don't want to get struck on myself. I don't think I'm the only fella in the pulpit. Hey, I'm here to tell you this morning, God's got us all in a place, in a position, hey, to get the work done. Us don't play a harlot on him this morning. And then verse 49, I want you to look at that. He said to her, then, behold, this was the iniquity of the sister of Sodom. He said, pride, full of bread, and abundance of idleness. Three sister sins of Sodom now that set back in. After God has done so much through this man of God, and you say, preacher, what's wrong with our day? The sister sins of Sodom. We're full of pride in America. We're full of bread in America. And we're idle. If you don't think we are, come over to Yakinville. They start folding the sidewalks up about dark. And then, dear friend, when it gets real, real dark, there's a crowd laid up there all day like a bunch of tomcats. And, brother, they come out of a night of a mowing and a carrying oil. And I want to tell you, no, tonight, this morning, freeing that crowd has laid up with highness. They'll say, I'm bored. I want something to do. Well, hey, bless God, if they'd come up my day, they wouldn't have been born. Hey, you got up before daylight. And, friends, you, when she got dark, you went to bed because she's coming up again in the morning. We had something to do. We didn't have to go out and tire up somebody's automobile, knock windows out, store fronts, try to occupy ourselves. Dad had a leather belt take care of that. Amen. I'm going to tell you, that chasing rod still works today. You say, well, can't chase my children today. The welfare get after me. Yeah, you can. Bible still works. Over there where I'm filling in, I've been preaching to them, and I did this at Northwood Baptist Church. It amazes you, the parish say it works. I said, you've been whooping them on the wrong end anyway. High end ain't a good place to whoop a kid. You say, well, where do you whoop one at? Pull his shoe off and whoop him on the bottom of the foot. That'll get his attention more than whooping him on his high end. Now listen to me. That kid's got a streak of rebellion in him. You make him pull his shoe off and get on his knee and turn that foot backwards, and son, he'll whoop well. Well, let me give you something, parents. When you make that kid bow before you, you're making that kid humble himself to you. And when you turn that foot back, see, I used to work in the funeral business. I've studied medical. I've studied bodies. I've done high as 5 autopsies a day. And it's not a beautiful sight. But know a little bit about the body. And you're in the bottom of your foot, all of your nerves lapse in the bottom of your foot. You pull your shoe off and go out there and try to walk in that parking lot. You'll tiptoe. You'll walk on the back. You'll do everything trying to find a place. It don't bother you. But when you whip the bottom of that foot, it'll hurt that kid to the top of his head. You've made him humble to you. And now you're giving him the chasing the hand of rod of discipline unto him. But when you quit, the hurt quits. And you can never bruise that foot enough that the social service can get you. That's good preaching if I am doing it. Son, don't let this crowd tell you you can't do anything. I'm telling you, God so made us and positioned us and placed us. Hey, it still works today, man. And so we see here in the Word of God, hey, we're full of pride, we're full of bread, we're full of idleness. How that's a place that we are. Three sister sins of Sodom. Lord, I got to get on. I realize over in chapter 33, he looked for a man. Chapter 34, he's looking for a man as a watchman, as a go-between. And old Ezekiel had to call upon him. But I want to tell you, glory to God, the man that made a difference, was it Bethlehem, Judea? Hey, that evening when the angels came out and sang glory to God in the highest, hey, peace on earth, good will towards man. I'm glad God found a of man. There was a go-between between Israel and between old Ezekiel. And I'm here to tell you in the mission field how hard it might be, how rough it might be. Woo! Thank God there's a man. That's a go-between that God found over at Bethlehem. Woo! Glory to God. And then he said, Ezekiel, he said in chapter 37, he said, I want you to go over there. And he said, I want you to look your situation over. And so I see in chapter 37 and verse number 1, and the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and sat down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there was a very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Old Ezekiel looked on that situation. He said, Lord, only you know this one. It didn't look much to him. They was out there just like a valley of dry bones. But it was Israel. They had nothing. They was away from God. And he said unto him, he said in verse number 4, and again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Missionaries, when it's dry, when there ain't much going on, preaching still works. Preaching will always work, the right kind of preaching. And he said, I want you to preach to them. I want you to prophesy to them. And so he said, I want you to tell them they're dry, and there's just no life within them. But if you'll prophesy to them, I'm going to let similitudes come upon them. Now I'm going to let the wind blow over them and breath coming into them. And then he said, I'm going to let bone take connection with bone. And he said, I'm going to let them stand upon their feet. And he said, I'm letting a great shaking come in their midst. That's all here in chapter 37. And free, and that great shaking came. And that was in 19 and 13 when they got a hold of the TNT and set it off there and like to blow themselves off in the mouth. And they realized they had a power. By 19 and 13 with that great shaking, and they came to life, and God put them on their feet. In 1948, there's a flying a flag of freedom. Only God can do that. I'm glad, glory to God, he can set you and I free in these days. And he said, I want you to prophesy unto them. Just preach to them. And so in verse number 7, he said, prophesy. In verse number 9, he said, prophesy. In verse number 10, so I prophesied. And then verse number 12, therefore prophesy and say. In other words, when you just preach, preach again. Didn't nothing happen then, just preach again. Woo! You say, preacher, that's a little hard. It gets the job done. I've been a stomping my feet and slapping my hands, and I've been a hollering for 8 months. Pulpit committee came to me and said, preacher, you got to help us. We're not going back to where we was. We want a man of God that'll preach. We can't go back where we was. It's always God's honored it, and God'll still honor it, fellas. In the mission field, pastors in the field, just stay with this old book. God'll honor it. Then look over in chapter 38, women, verse number 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog and Magog. Tubuk, he said, you tell Israel, now that I've touched them, they got an enemy up north, and said they got their eyes on them, and he said, you warned them of Gog and Magog and Tubal. And he said, I'm going to put a hook in their jaw, and I'm going to bring them down to the valley. And he said, not only that, but look in verse number 5. He said, we got Persia, we got Ethiopian, and we got Libya I'm going to bring with them. Is that some of our problems going on today? Huh? Friend, we better take note of what's happening. All of this is coming to pass. Oh, friend, I got excited over this. God got letting me see some things. And he said, you tell them I'm going to take care of that crowd. I'm going to bring them down to the valley. And friend, they're on their way. If you'll take your map of your Bible, a map that you have at home of Israel, and you lay your string on Israel and let her lay due north, and it hits Russia. That's the only thing up there. And friend, Russia right now is making their move today. They're upset, and so is the president of our nation is upset at Israel today. He's leaning more to those Arabs, hey, to give them what they want. And brother, that land's not theirs. It belongs to Moses and his hours, and God's going to give it to them, friend. Hey, regardless of what they do and what they might say, hey, God's going to bring that outfit to the valley. And then in chapter 40, he said, I'm going to build you a temple. Strange pastoral. Old Ezekiel's had to go through a lot. He'd done some very strange things. Said, you know, this old boy might got a little something. Now watch it. From a thorn and a scorpion, he's in a building program. Amen. Strange. But just stick with it. Hey, God's on the throne. It's his doings anyway. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe I can do anything. I don't believe I can build a church. You can't. But God can. Dr. Ray Stewart knew where I was at in Virginia. Had a good church. God let us coordinate some people there. And what a great church I had in Virginia. A little church at Northwood over in Yankeeville, North Carolina. Their pulpit committee showed up one Sunday and said, we wanted to talk to you about coming and taking our church. We've heard about you. And I said, well, fellas, and they said, preacher, just stop. We want to ask you one thing. Don't say no to us till you come and preach to us one time. And I said, okay, I'll come. They said, we want you to come. We've been praying. God's put you on our heart. I wouldn't go on a Sunday. I was very ugly about it. I wasn't looking to leave. God was doing things in Glade Springs. A work that had had some serious problems, and he'd moved that out of the minds of the people, and boy, souls were being saved, and had a great church. I went over there and viewed that little old church and looked at them, and they had nothing. I wouldn't even let my wife go that Wednesday night. I wouldn't try it. I said, you just stay here at the church. I'm just going to go over there and preach and get in my car and get back to Virginia, and everything was going to be fine. And we didn't even have a good funeral service that night. I think we might have had 18 in that service that night, and they just sat there just defeated and beat down. I done the best I could, and I got in my car, and I pulled out to the main road, and I said, thank God this is over with. Brother Tingen, I was going up Interstate 77 back to Virginia, and I was humming Amazing Grace in my heart, saying, thank God that's over with. And before I topped the Blue Ridge Mountain on Interstate 77, God showed up in the car with me. He said, Brother Wisham, he said, now I've sent you over there, and that's your work, and they're going to call you, and you're going to take it. I got home that night, and my wife said, honey, how did the service go? I said, we didn't have a good funeral service. I said, they're defeated. There was hardly nobody there. And she said, what do you think? I said, God got in the car with me and told us our work. And I said, they're going to call me, and we're going to take it so you can start packing. She said, how do you know? I said, well, God told me there was. So they called me then on Friday and said, preacher, would you please let us vote on you? And I said, yeah, you vote. Call me as soon as you vote. And they said, why? And I said, I'm coming. You're going to call me and I'm coming. They said, what? I said, you're going to call me and I'm coming. They hadn't even voted on me. But God put her right there. He settled that thing. First Sunday they got out and worked, and the first Sunday I had 23 in Sunday school and 27 for preaching. And I had me a time. I didn't walk in defeated. I knew I was right in the perfect will of God. And son, if I've ever had liberty to preach, I didn't have that much on Wednesday night when I was over there, but I sure had her that morning. I'd done a little of that foot stomping, that hand slapping. Amen. And they got a little excited about it. I was there for 19 years. And then God said, now it's time for you to step down. And we just run in 287 Sunday school, 332 for preaching. On a dead end road, a little dirt road down to the church. Brother Stewart, preachers come to me and said, Brother Wishon, you are crazy. Said, you ain't going to do nothing down that dead-end road. I said, I know it, but he is. Boys, don't forget who we're working for. Missionaries, don't get discouraged and say there's no hope. Boy, I looked at this, and I'm 70-year-old, but I got a little preach back in me, Brother John. Praise God. There's still a little something God let me do in these days. I mean, it's been exciting just to be here this week and just be with you. And I'm telling you, God's put a burning fire back in my soul. I'm not looking for a pastoral work. And really the reason I'm not is because of the condition of my wife. She's been to me and the girls had been in three times with her, and they said she's a dying, but yet God's touched her and raised her up and let me have her. Hey, we can't do what one time we used to do, but thank God there's just a little bit we can still do for the glory of God. And he said, Ezekiel, hey, get your measuring rod and begin to lay off the land. We're going to build a temple. We're building a house of God. I want you to see, glory to God, they built that temple, and then out of that temple, from the foundation of it, hey, came the water of the Spirit of God, and it was ankle deep, and then the next thing you know, it is running knee deep, and then the next thing you know, it is running hip deep, and then the next thing, they just jumped in and swam in the Spirit of God, and God filled the church, hey, with old Ezekiel. Woo! Hallelujah. What a God we serve. Then chapter 48, and turn there with me. He said, Ezekiel, tell them I'm building them a city. And then that city on the gates, four gates, three gates on each side. Tell them there's a city I'm a building. And friend, they want marching toward the city. I'm done, I'm give out. But he said in the city, when they come in view of the city and look at the last four words, and the Lord is there. Woo! Children, we're headed to the city. And I'm glad he's there this morning. Keep on preaching. Keep on singing. He's coming again. Woo! Glory to God. Bless your heart, brother.